Thank you, worship team, for leading us in that time of just celebrating our risen King together. Wasn't that a good? Oh, that was awesome! Just to praise the Lord together. I'm gonna be in a lot of trouble with Darren because I already stole his announcement. So if I forget to announce that at this time, if you have children and you want to avail yourself to those services, get yourself out for that. You can certainly do that. And the rest of you, if you have your Bibles or other apps, you can turn to 1 Peter. The letter to 1 Peter, and we'll be looking at that in just a few moments' time. I have to remember to pace myself when I'm singing worship. I don't have a voice left for... How many of you are glad that it snowed this morning? Is there anyone that is rejoicing in that? We're kind of doing that as an act of worship, as kind of a deliberate thing. All right, Evan is in trouble. All right, so you guys can all talk to Evan. It's Evan, right? Evan? Yeah, because he's the one that ordered the snow. So for the rest of us, we are trying to celebrate beyond the snow and look beyond that. If you're new here this morning, or if you're visiting with us this Easter Sunday morning, I want to extend a special welcome to you. I'm kind of new here too, so I kind of know how you feel, still figuring out where everything is and everyone's names. And so welcome here if you're new. One of the things that you're going to see as you come to Bridgeway, if you come more than once, is that Bridgeway has a vision. We have a purpose that we believe that God has given to us. And most of the time, you can actually read it right on the front of our bulletins. At Bridgeway, our purpose is to live Christ-centered lives of love, grace, humility, spiritual maturity, and mission. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty noble goal to me, right? Those look like things that I want to aspire to in my life. Love, grace, humility, spiritual maturity, and mission. Those are things that I think all of us kind of look at and go, yeah, I could use a little bit more of that in my life, and I'd like to see a little bit more of that in my church. And one of the ways that we are accomplishing that here, one of the things that we're going to put that into steps into our lives is by asking ourselves good questions. Difficult questions, honest questions. I like a good question. And so my question for you this morning is this. Because Jesus lives, so what? We've kind of heard the Easter story. It was read to us. We sang about it. We gather here on Resurrection Sunday to affirm this historical fact that this man named Jesus, who lived a long, long time ago and a long, long ways away, died. He actually did die on a cross. No fake death, no body switch, no stolen body. Jesus died on the cross. He was dead for 3 days. No swooning, no passing out, no temporary coma. Dead. And then on the third day, he came back to life again. We affirm that truth. 2,000 years ago, there lived a man who was crucified. He was dead, and he came back to life again. But so what? What makes this man different from every other human being who ever lived? What does the resurrection of some guy 2,000 years ago and halfway around the world have to do with you and I here today? If Jesus really did come back from the dead, what difference does it make? What does it matter? Because he lives, so what? Now, when we ask ourselves good questions, there's really only one place to get good answers to those good questions, and that's in the Bible. Outside of Scripture itself, we have very little to say. We are all just kind of sharing our best guesses if we're not looking at Scripture together. God has revealed himself and his truths in this book. And so this is where we go to get the answers to our good questions. So what does the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago have to do with my life today? Now it's Easter Sunday, and some of you might have been here today visiting friends or relatives. Maybe you don't go to church very often, and I just feel like I need to be really open and honest with you right here, right now, right at the get-go. And I want to admit that sometimes we preachers get up And we make promises that we really cannot deliver. Sometimes you go to church and that's what you're going to hear. Sometimes we preachers push too hard. It's usually out of good motives. You see, we know that a life built on the truths of God and centered on the reality of the resurrected Jesus is the only life worth living. And we've experienced that in our own lives, and we pastor churches where we see people who are being changed by the truth of that gospel. And so we know that if your life is going to be better, if your life is going to have a purpose to it, it's going to be centered around the finished work of Jesus Christ. And we desperately want you to experience that good news. But sometimes in our enthusiasm, we find ourselves promising things that God hasn't promised. And so we say things like this: if you put your trust in Jesus Christ today, then your life is going to be good from now on. Just clear sailing. Everything's coming up roses. No snow on Easter Sunday. No. Right? Or we'll say something like, you know what? If you come here and you put your faith in Jesus and your marriage is on the rocks right now, then God is going to heal your marriage. If you're out of work here this morning and you believe in Jesus, you're going to get a job. They're going to get a phone call this afternoon, your dream job. That's what you're going to get. If you're here with an addiction that you've been working on for years and it's been dogging you for years, but I just know if you put your faith in Jesus, He's going to set you free from that addiction immediately. Some of you are struggling with infertility. If you just trust Jesus, you're going to walk out of here today pregnant. That's an offer maybe that we cannot deliver, especially if you're a man. I don't mean to belittle any of your problems, but you've heard those promises, haven't you? Struggling to pay the bills? Put your trust in God and He will make you rich. Struggling with your health? Put your trust in Jesus and He'll make you well. Health, wealth. You've heard those promises, haven't you? The problem with these promises, and the reason why we cannot deliver on them, is because God never made any of them. It's kind of silly when we preachers make those promises, because the promises that God actually did make are exponentially better than the problems and the promises that I just shared, the list that I just said. Those promises, those are just temporary fixes. They're just quick solutions. They are band-aids when what you really need is surgery. But the promises that God actually makes are permanent. They are everlasting. They are enduring. God's permanent promises are always better than our temporary solutions. And so the scripture that I've chosen for this morning is not one of those typical Easter Sunday passages. We have all sorts of stories about the resurrection from the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all talk about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And we read part of one of those stories at the beginning of our service. And maybe you know some of those stories yourself. Maybe you don't know all of those stories yourself. But we're going to do something just a little different. And I want to bring you to another passage of Scripture. It's written by one of the guys who was first at the empty tomb of Jesus. Okay, he wasn't really first. There was a foot race and he lost, so he got outrun by John. And of course, the ladies were there long before even any of the guys thought about rolling out of bed in the morning. So there's that. But Peter was there. He stooped in and he looked and he saw the empty tomb. He saw the place where they put his good friend, his master, the rabbi Jesus, and it was empty. He saw that. Later on, he saw the risen Jesus. Several times he saw Jesus risen from the dead, and what Peter saw changed his life. And when Peter was just a little bit older, maybe 30, 35 years later, the truths of the resurrection had begun to settle into his life. They'd begun making lasting changes in who Peter was and who he was becoming. And Peter, as a mature believer, sat down and he wrote a letter to a bunch of young Christians who are struggling with some pretty awful things happening in their lives. And I want to look at one of those letters written by Peter, coincidentally called 1 Peter. And we're going to be right at the very beginning, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The word of the Lord. There's a specific part of this passage that I want to draw your attention to this morning as we start out looking at this. Right there in the middle, it says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter's writing this letter to a bunch of people going through some really hard times, and he begins by telling them about some of the incredible blessing that are ours, that are his people, the promises that God is promising to those who believe in Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's like there's a treasure chest. And it's full of riches beyond imagining. But that treasure chest is locked. It's closed. And there's no way that you can get into that treasure chest on your own. There's no pry bar that you can get that's big enough that will open up that treasure chest. There's no hammer that's heavy enough that you're going to smash that treasure chest open. There's only one way to get the treasure out of that chest. And the key is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's what's going to unlock all these other promises contained in this verse for us. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's the key. You don't get these blessings through self-help seminars. You don't get them through wishful thinking. You can't get your rich uncle to buy these blessings for you. You don't get them through great sacrifice or self-effort on your part. There is only one key, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the only key that opens the lock. So what's inside? What kind of treasure are we talking about here? If the permanent promises of God are always better than our temporary solutions, then what's God promising us? Now, there's a much-loved song that's often sung in Christian circles at Easter time, and its lyrics go like this. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. The first blessing of the resurrection, the first permanent promise that God offers to us because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, is a new birth into a new life. That's pretty cool. When I first moved to Osler many years ago as a young pastor in a new church, a bunch of us guys decided that we were going to go golfing together one Sunday afternoon. I hadn't golfed before, so I was a newbie. There's a little golf course there. We were at the Rostern Park, and there's a little golf course, and the guys said it'd be fun. So off went the new pastor trying to make friends, a novice golfer, with some of the guys from his new church. Of course, the pastor has to go first. Go first, pastor. Thanks, guys. And they set me up on the first tee, and they're all standing around watching me. And if you've ever been to the Rostern Golf Course, you know that right in front of that first tee, there is this giant puddle of water. There's like a marsh. It's like a lake. It's just crazy big. The ladies' tee is off to one side and in front of the water, so they don't have to worry about it. Thanks a lot, ladies. These guys push me up to the box, and they're all watching me, and I'm stepping up, and I'm eyeing my ball, and I'm looking at the water, right? Don't look at the water. Don't look at the water. I'm looking at the water. And I lean back, a few practice swings, of course, right? Want to look like you know what you're doing. I just lean back and just power it, bam! And I'm just looking for it, looking for it, looking for it. I top the ball. It bounced four times, right, bloop, into the water in front of me. Guys are all laughing, and I'm just standing there dying of embarrassment. And one of the guys says those words that hit my ear like the sweet sound of salvation. He says, Nick, Pastor Nick, go ahead and take a mulligan. You guys know what a mulligan is, right? It's a free shot. You get a do-over. You get to try it again. Pastor Nick, you can take a mulligan. I took a mulligan, and it went a little further. Cleared the water, at least. Do you ever feel like it'd be nice to be able to take a mulligan at life? A fresh start, a do-over, a chance to go back in time and change just one thing. Most of us have that one awful thing in our past, that one moment that we are definitely not proud of. Most of us have that one terrible decision, that one great hurt, that one thing that if we could just go back in time and change that one thing, we would do it in a heartbeat. We'd love to have a mulligan when it comes to that one thing, but God's permanent promises are better than your temporary fixes, and in God's great mercy, He has given us a new birth. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. That's what God is offering us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's giving us more than just another chance. He's giving us a new birth, a new life. He came to love, to heal, to forgive, and He's not offering you a mulligan for that one moment that you messed up. He's offering you a mulligan at life. He's offering you a do-over for everything. All of the little mistakes and the few giant ones along the way, He's offering you a do-over for all of it. He's given us new birth. That famous old song that I mentioned goes on in the chorus to say this: because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. Life is worth living just because He lives. And in our scripture passage, we see that second blessing that God is offering to us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is a living hope. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope. Living hope. Now, I know a little bit about hope, but what is a living hope? Hope that is alive. Now see, when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you put your trust in Him as your Savior, He moves in and He recreates you. And then by His Spirit, He comes to live inside of you. He gives you His life. We are now indwelt by God Himself, and He starts going wherever we're going, and we start finding ourselves starting to act and respond more and more like Him. It's kind of crazy. All of a sudden, instead of wanting to hate, we are filled with a sense of love. Instead of having an unsettled heart, we have a sense of peace. Instead of getting angry at that guy in front of us, well, we're still working on the patience, right? But all of those things, all of this character that God is beginning to develop in us, and it's not me, it's not you, it's not our self-effort, it's what God is doing inside of us. And as He starts doing that, as you start to see real evidence in your life of the resurrected Jesus making a change in you, then there comes this living hope, this settled assurance that no matter what happens, no matter what comes, no matter what hits the fan in our lives, He is there. No matter how crazy life gets, Christ is at hand. The Lord is at hand. He's in me. He's with me. He's carrying me. He is there. Living hope. Do not settle for temporary solutions when you can have living hope, because God's permanent promises are always better than your temporary fixes. The second verse of the Gaither song talks about how this hope is not just for yourself, and it isn't primarily about escaping difficult times. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's about walking through those difficult times. It's about having Jesus present with you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But sweeter still, this calm assurance. This child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives. Elaine and I are foster parents. Elaine takes these little newborn babies home from the hospital. And they come home and they have so much hurt from their addictions. The withdrawal is so hard on them. And it breaks your heart to see how someone else's sin has caused such awful pain in these innocent young lives. But even though those first few months are awful, and they are awful, eventually they start to level out. They have a warm bed. They're well fed. They have a safe home. They're given unconditional love, and God begins to heal them. And that's when the bigger step of faith comes. As foster parents, we give them back, or we give them up for adoption. We could not do this if Christ was not risen from the dead. We couldn't hold them and love them and then release them to whatever uncertain days God has for them. We could not do that if we did not have that calm assurance that Jesus is risen from the dead and he is in control no matter what happens. And if you're a parent, it doesn't matter. You know that same feeling. You can't release these children into their lives to make all their mistakes without having that certainty that God is in control. I almost skipped over this verse in the song as I was preparing the message. It just didn't seem to fit as nicely into 1 Peter. Didn't really dovetail, but I kept sensing the Holy Spirit was telling me to take time to include it. Even if it's just for one person. Maybe you are here this morning as a parent, and you have a child, and your child is not in a good place, and it's killing you. I don't want to give you an insincere response to what you're sensing and what you're facing and what you're going through. I don't want to belittle or gloss over your pain. I cannot tell you that the resurrection of Jesus helps. You have to experience it. You have to take that deep breath and taste it for yourself. What I want to do instead, though, is I want to make you a promise. If you go to the prayer room after the service, it's just out these doors and down the hallway. The prayer room is the most important room in this church. If you go there after the service and you take one of those prayer notes and you write down the first name of your child, just your first name, God knows who we're praying for, and you just put three little hearts by that name, that'll be a signal to the prayer warriors that we're praying for somebody's child. Okay, and you can put that up on the prayer notes. And I promise you that I will pray for you. I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for your child. God's permanent promises are better than your temporary solutions. The first blessing, the first promise is new birth because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. The second is living hope because Jesus is resurrected from the dead. And the third promise is a certain future. The last verse of that Gaither song has these lyrics. Then one day I'll cross that river. And I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then, as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. And I'll know he lives. There's this incredible promise contained right here in 1 Peter that God in his great mercy gave us a new birth into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now let's think about that for just a second. An inheritance. An inheritance is something that you get when somebody else dies. Right? That's when you get an inheritance. When Elaine's aunt passed away, she didn't have any children of her own, so she left an inheritance for all of her nieces and nephews. Elaine got a lovely new piano that's a continuous reminder to us of Aunt Elma. That's an inheritance. The problem is, God's got all these riches, but he's eternal. He never dies. That's not a problem. That's good news, right? Amen. God is eternal. He never dies. But the problem is he's got this inheritance to give us, and he never dies. So God has to change the rules. And he does that. See, God doesn't die to give us our inheritance. We do. We die to get our inheritance. We get our full inheritance on the other side of eternity. This part of this verse answers the question about what happens to us after we leave this place. What God promises us here is that if we are in Christ, not only do we get Christ here in this life to give us new birth and living hope, but you actually get Jesus forever. There's an inheritance waiting for you on the other side of eternity. Do not settle for temporary fixes to quick problems when you can have God's promises that are lasting, that never perish, spoil, or fade. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow, that's an amazing promise. There is so much more truth that could be unpacked in just this little short passage of Scripture. But as I studied this week, I really felt God had something to say to those of you who do not yet know him. Or to those of you who might know him just a little bit, but maybe you don't yet fully trust him. Maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you've been coming with your friend, your neighbor, your parents. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you are still exploring who Jesus is, what he did, and what that means to you. I want you to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I want that for you. In order to encourage you to do that, I'm not going to make any promises to you that God didn't make. I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to stand here firmly on the promises that God did make. So here's what I'll tell you. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ today, you will be born again. You'll get your mulligan at life. You'll get a do-over. You'll get your fresh start. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ today, you will, from this day forward, have a living hope. It's so impossible to explain to someone who doesn't have it. Just that certainty that God is in control. Living hope. It changes your life, and it changes every situation, no matter how desperate you might think that situation is. And if you put your trust in Jesus Christ today, he's going to start preparing an inheritance for you, just for you, a blessing beyond imagination that you'll receive one day when you see him face to face. These are the promises that I will stand firmly upon because he lives. God has promised them to be true because Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. The reason why the resurrection of Jesus is so important to us is because these promises of God only become available to us through Jesus. There is one key to the lock. And if Jesus is dead, he can't bring them to us, but he's alive, and he can. He really is alive. And because he's alive, we know that we have new birth. We know that we have living hope. We know that we have a certain future because he lives. So I'm going to close this morning with a simple prayer of faith. And if you're here today and you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ, I want to invite you to just close your eyes and pray this prayer along with me. And if you're here today and you want to put your trust in Jesus again, I want to invite you to just close your eyes and in the quiet of your own heart, pray this prayer along with me. It's a prayer that goes something like this. Father God, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I confess my sin to you. I believe that you rose again on the third day, the very first Easter. I believe that you give new birth. I want that living hope that you promise. And I am trusting in that certain future in heaven with you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for mercy and grace and forgiveness. Thank you for new life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have been dying to sing that song that I've mentioned throughout the sermon. So I'm going to invite the worship team back up here now to lead us in that song, Because He Lives. And while they're coming up, let me just say to you that if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, don't leave here without telling someone about it. Come talk to me. I'd love to hear your story, and I'd love to talk to you further about what a life of Christ looks like in your life, not just on Sunday, not just on Easter, but every moment of every day in this life and in the incredible future that God has in store for us. Happy Easter, because he lives.
Let's stand together.